Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and today we're going to host what I'm hoping is going to be a fascinating conversation about the changing landscape of news media here in New Mexico. We've got some editors and reporters from new online news sources here to discuss this with us today. Trip Jennings from New Mexico In Depth, which is nmindepth.com. Marissa DeMarco, she is with New Mexico Compass, which is nmcompass.com, and Matthew Reichbach of New Mexico Telegram, which is nmtelegram.com. And just a note for listeners, we do have all your websites posted at kunm.org, so you don't have to remember the websites. Thanks to you all for joining us this morning. News media is kind of this constantly evolving, changing landscape, right? It's not something that is particularly static. And but I want to talk about what is happening right now here in New Mexico. What has driven each of you to create online news websites? And I want to talk with you, Matt, because you're kind of the most established out of the three of you with nmtelegram.com. Talk to me a little bit about what drove you to create this news website. And you know, what kinds of conditions exist in New Mexico for something like that?
Yeah, actually, I come to it from a little bit of a unique perspective because I've only worked in online outlets. So I worked at the New Mexico Independent with Trip, actually. He was one of my editors at the beginning. And then I went to Clearly New Mexico, which is where my local nonprofit here. And then when that job ended, I kind of didn't have anywhere else to go, really. So I decided, you know what, I can go to WordPress, which is a blog creation website, basically, and I can create a new blog. And I did that, and I just started reporting, and I've been doing that for about the past 8 months, I believe.
So tell me about, as a reporter, as a news content producer, when you got to that point where you were like, okay, the outlets that I have been employed by are no longer employing me for whatever reason, I'm going to create my own news outlet. Talk to me about that thought process. How easy was that? How difficult would have been challenges that you faced?
Well, I actually ran my own website before that, my own blog. That's how I got the job at the Independent. So I kind of knew what I was doing a little bit. Well, I thought I knew what I was doing a little bit, but there's always about twice as much work as you think there's going to be, like in anything else. And it was really easy to set up. I could have kept tweaking, you know, how it looks and making everything perfect. And I finally just said, you know what? I have to just bite the bullet, just make it live tomorrow and start writing, because I know how to do the reporting already. I've been doing that for the past, 5 years. It was just kind of jumping off the cliff and saying, okay, here we go. I'm doing this now.
Well, Marissa, let's go to you with New Mexico Compass. Mm-hmm. You are the former editor from the Weekly Alibi.
Yeah.
Can you explain, how come you're not at the Alibi anymore, and how that related to your creation of New Mexico Compass?
Sure. On 12/12/12, December 12th, 2012, I was laid off from my position as the editor-in-chief of the Weekly Alibi. And it was a sudden and surprising thing, and they laid off a few people, I think because they are dealing with some financial troubles. And so at that point, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do next, because it had come as a surprise to me. But one of my colleagues, Margaret Wright, called me up and suggested that we start our own thing. And I don't know that she had particularly anything in mind, whether it was going to be something on an online venture or whether it was going to be another print publication. I've always worked at print publications. I came up through the Daily Lobo. I worked at the Albuquerque Tribune, and then I worked at the Weekly Alibi. So we sat down and talked about it and decided that the best thing to do would be to get something going immediately. I think that because of the quick pace of our society right now, especially given our interaction with the internet, it's important to kind of do things right away. And you can't sit around and wait for, 6 to 12 months to kind of get it together and figure it out, tinker with what your website looks like, as Matt was talking about. You can really get lost doing that. Have long discussions over the name. You have to just kind of jump in. And because of the nature of the internet, everything is kind of malleable as well. So once you do jump in, if you need to go back and do some tweaking and tinkering, you can absolutely do that. So we did that, and we got the website up on December 21st. So just like a week or two after I left the Alibi. And we had a really good team of writers who are willing to contribute pieces for that. They're just people that I've worked with over the years who I've edited. And I was really proud of that first day. I think it looked great. The content was really, really strong. And we've kept it up. It's, you know, it's always a question when you do just kind of jump into a thing, whether you're going to have sustainability with that, whether you're going to be able to keep up the quality and the pace as you go along. And I think we absolutely have. So things are going well. And it's interesting, too. I come from kind of a DIY culture with regard to music. And I think that I'm very much just applying that aesthetic to what I'm doing here. It's also similar in the sense that there's not any money in it yet, which is, you know, everything I've ever done in music, there's not any money in that either. But you just have to keep doing it because you believe in the content and the quality and the premise of what it is that you're doing.
So New Mexico Compass is a nonprofit, right, Marisa?
We are part of Citizen Media Group. So there was this dormant nonprofit, Citizen Media Group, that formed, I think, 5 years ago. Maybe fewer years ago than that. It kind of fell by the wayside, but it hadn't officially been closed. All the paperwork was still filed. It still had a board. And when Carolyn Carlson, who was my council reporter at the Weekly Alibi, when she heard about kind of what it is that we were up to and what we were planning on doing, she suggested that Citizen Media Group adopt New Mexico Compass. And it's cool to go the nonprofit route, I think, because I don't necessarily want to be in a position where I'm having to reach out to people for ads. I think there should be a really firm separation between advertising and editorial. So if we can do things like seek grants instead, then I don't have to worry about becoming simultaneously an editor and an advertising representative, which I think is kind of a problem if you're not a nonprofit.
We're talking about the changing news media landscape here in New Mexico, and we would like to hear from you. Are there stories, are there issues and topics that you would like to see these new online news media outfits cover? Are there ways that you would like to see news events in New Mexico covered differently than they are by other more traditional news media outlets here in New Mexico? The number to call locally is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can email callinshow@kunm.org. You can also post your comments online at kunm.org. Now let's go to Trip Jennings with New Mexico In Depth. It's nmindepth.com. Good morning, Trip. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. So you and Heath Hausman teamed up to create this New Mexico In Depth news outlet. Give us a little bit of the play-by-play of how that came about.
As Matt talked about in our history, Heath was also part of the New Mexico Independent. He had his own site like Matt, and that sort of went by in late 2010. That they really scaled back, and so I went back to working for a newspaper, and then an opportunity arose for the creation of a new a site, kind of a hybrid, actually. I hear Matt and Marissa talking about existing online. We're New Mexico In Depth is sort of a hybrid because right now, this week, we have a series of stories running in two newspapers in New Mexico as well as on our site. So that opportunity arose when the Kellogg Foundation and the McCune Foundation were looking to fund a news outlet here in New Mexico. Kellogg is as some may know, is spending a lot of money over the next few years in New Mexico. They've targeted New Mexico and a couple of other states. And so it's a really interesting situation for that Heath and I find ourselves in right now. I have to say, it was kind of funny to me. I think I'm the only dinosaur on the show right now, because I remember getting into newspapers when newspaper editors were still worrying about what color photographs by USA Today was going to do to their circulation. And now, you know, now we find ourselves, this is a real transformative moment for the industry, frankly. Since I remember working for The Independent and reading about all the layoffs at the newspapers across the nation in 2007, 8, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Really 8 and 9. And I think what's happening here is we're having a real reshuffling. And as Marissa was talking about, and it's happening in New Mexico, as Marissa was talking about, it's hard sometimes to for a lot of folks doing this, where to find the money. And nobody has answered the billion-dollar question on how to pay for a lot of this.
Well, and Tripp, let me jump in there and ask you, because there also has been the larger shift in the news industry over the past, couple of decades that you're talking about, because I'm thinking of historically news media has never been, well, or at least for a while, wasn't a profit-making venture. So for newspapers, the news department wasn't what was earning the money. It was the advertising department that was earning the money.
Right.
Talk a little bit about, if you can, Tripp, about how the for-profit news media model shifted over time, and then do you see this now, the nonprofit model that you and Heath are doing with New Mexico In Depth, as being kind of a return to this idea that news is not a money making, like a profit making venture per se, but is a public service?
I think the answer is still, you know, it will take time to figure this out, frankly, because. We are part of, we being New Mexico In Depth, joined something called the Investigative News Network, which has, I think, up to 70 members across the nation right now, including, you know, things like California Watch, NPR is a member, ProPublica is a member, but also sites like us. I have a friend who's leading Connecticut Health Investigates team in Connecticut. And talking to her, a lot of these folks are seeking funding to continue. They've gotten grants to start, but these grants are, it's not that they're hinged on 2 or 3 years, but it's like, I think the hope is that somehow these sites that are publishing news figure out how to have a sustainable revenue stream. And that's a big issue right now. The thing about the profit making is that local newspapers, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe that they were making a lot of money for decades and decades. And then all of a sudden the internet, something revolutionary happened. And the internet just opened it up. Some people use the word democratized, you know, democratized news. I'm not sure I would go that far, but it's a really interesting question, because all of a sudden, you know, Craigslist ate into the newspaper's ability to charge for classified advertising. And so the revenue stream was basically really diminished because of that. And the newsrooms were protected in some way, I think, from remembering that this was a business, ultimately. Because during the flush years, newsrooms could operate with this idea that it is a public service, and frankly, that's my view of journalism. And it sounds like the fellow, my colleagues here on the show, would agree. But what's happened with newspapers is they've had to really start asking a lot of more difficult business questions.
Tripp Jennings is with New Mexico In Depth. That's nmindepth.com. We also have Marissa DeMarco with New Mexico Compass. That's nmcompass.com. And Matt Reichbach with New Mexico Telegram, which is nmtelegram.com. Those links are also posted at kunm.org. And we are asking you this morning, are there stories that you would like to see covered by these news outlets, perhaps types of coverage or ways of covering news items here in New Mexico that are different than the ways that stories are covered in other more traditional media outlets. And I say more traditional almost in quotes because the web as a news outlet is now very much a traditional source of news. So please visualize me with air quotes, traditional methods, meaning newspapers and TV news, et cetera. You can call 277-5866 locally here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can email callinshow@kunm.org or post your comments online. Let's go to Maria in Albuquerque. Good morning, Maria, you're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for the show. I wanted to make a comment that my daughter, Angela, sent me the link to New Mexico Compact. So I've been receiving New Mexico Compact for a couple of weeks, and I really, really I have been impressed with the quality. It's very well done, very succinct, and you get a really clear idea of what happened, the possibilities. I especially appreciated the news about the city council meeting, things that I would not necessarily be reading in the daily paper since I don't get that. Some of the other articles that have covered a fairly wide range by different people, the comments are often interesting. And I just wanted to say to anyone who doesn't necessarily read the daily paper or have the time to watch the local news that this is a really good way of keeping up with local and state issues in a very real way. And I want to say kudos and congratulations, okay? And that was it.
Great. Thanks, Maria. Let's take another call. Kate in Albuquerque. Good morning, Kate. You're on the air.
Good morning. I am a retired newspaper editor. I did mainstream newspapers for 20 years. The last stop was the Dallas Morning News, and I was part of a large group that was downsized there in 2001. I went back and did a master's degree in media studies to get up to date on the new media. And for 10 years, I ran a consulting business doing websites for nonprofits. And my current project is abqgigs.com, which I launched last Sunday in beta. If you go there, you'll see there are a few listings in place, but by the time we go to full launch in March, we expect to have more than 100 listings a day of all the arts events going on around town. And the difference between this kind of a venue and doing this in a traditional newspaper setting is that we're not constrained by space. So we can look at all of the kinds of things that are going, anything from small weaving exhibitions going on at a museum to gallery events to tiny jazz performances in a bar way out in the middle of nowhere. We can talk about those things where we don't have to worry about, is this advertiser driven? And that's the freedom of doing it. Of course, figuring out how to monetize it, you have to understand these are micro markets, and so the advertising rates have to be set accordingly to do that. But it's a public service, and it's also a whole lot of fun to do.
Great. Thanks, Kate. Well, let me come back to you, Matt, with nmtelegram.com. I know you're doing some fundraising right now to support your work covering the upcoming legislative session. Talk to me a little bit about that financial aspect that Kate mentioned.
Yeah. I decided to go with the advertising model with the fundraising model because advertising, as Marissa said, it's kind of problematic when you're doing all the content and also selling advertising.
And you're like a one-person shop.
Yeah, I'm a one-person. There's me, and that's
put
it.
A wall between advertising and news straight down the middle of your forehead.
Yeah, I can't.
Really.
I can't say like 3 o'clock. I'm 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. I'm doing that. No, it just doesn't work that way. So, but what I've done, I've been successful in the past too, is asking my readers to come and pitch in, you know, $10, $20, whatever. And this is to help me cover the legislative session because I have to drive up to Santa Fe, and obviously you can't have a full-time job and do this, which I was doing for the probably about 6 months of the Telegram. I had a full-time job in addition to writing at the Telegram. And then now I'm trying to make a go at it with just the Telegram and with that fundraising. And it's been going pretty well so far.
Marissa, what about with New Mexico Compass and fundraising for New Mexico Compass?
Right. So we're just getting started, and we have lots of ideas about what we're going to do to raise money. I really want to say thank you to Maria, who called in. I thought her comments were fantastic, and I really appreciate it. We're also covering the legislative session. We're actually, New Mexico In Depth has a print partnership. We're partnering with IQ to bring legislative coverage to Albuquerque. And I think that's part of an access issue in some ways. I feel like what I've always felt really passionate about is providing political coverage that's palatable, and I really enjoy doing it in a free venue. So not everybody necessarily has access to the internet and can see my website, but my hope is that everybody has access to free publications that are just kind of around. And I think those are really excellent spots for covering governmental bodies. I believe it's on next Tuesday, you'll see kind of the beginning of our partnership with IQ that'll last for the duration of the legislative session. As far as fundraising goes, we're planning to hopefully get a combination of grants, sponsorships, and we're also hoping to hire ourselves out for media trainings. And our goal there would be to go to communities that maybe don't necessarily have their own outlet or have really strong media presence and train citizens to be watchdogs of their local governments. New Mexico is a large place, and there are some smaller communities that aren't getting as much coverage as, say, Albuquerque or Santa Fe. And you have to wonder if things like the trouble in Sunland Park would have unfolded if there was somebody down there with their eyes open who was writing about their local government. So there are small towns, and we're kind of a fascinating place that has like lots of border towns and colonias and really rural communities that maybe would be interested in having my team of, you know, news professionals come down and talk about how to cover the news, how to file an IPRA request, what kind of questions are good to ask your local politicians, and even just spread the word that your local politicians have an obligation to answer your questions. So that's kind of our three-pronged approach to fundraising.
We're talking about the changing news media landscape here in New Mexico with Marissa DeMarco of New Mexico Compass, Matt Reichbach of New Mexico Telegram, and Trip Jennings with New Mexico In Depth. You can call and join the conversation, request coverage of certain issues, comment on this changing media landscape topic that we're talking about today. Locally, the number to call is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can email callinshow@kunm.org or post your comments online. Let's take another call from Margaret in Albuquerque. Good morning, Margaret. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to pitch in because I find this discussion very, very interesting. Regarding the changes you see happening in media, because I see it in a way as parallel to potential changes in our society as a whole. I hear people discussing the value of being able to democratize media and yet also facing the struggles of how to monetize it or keep it financially alive. And I value all forms of media, both traditional and new. I see the value of democratization in the new media as hugely valuable. And also the freedom, as the other caller mentioned, from having to be constrained by space and advertising monetization as quite as much. And I think it's kind of a reflection of potential changes for all of our society. I feel our society, in the way that newspapers and traditional media are constrained by advertising, the need to create finance for advertising, our whole society is constrained by the need to create constant profit. And I see some parallels in this struggle within media to struggles in our general society of trying to move either towards crazy continued profit world, which constrains us, versus moving away from crazy continued profit world, which allows us more freedom. I'm interested to hear people's thoughts on that.
Super. Trip, I want to go to you with Margaret's question. Can you respond?
Sure. I mean, it's a very complicated, complex, fascinating, frustrating situation right now when we talk about the media, because in some ways, when we talk about democratizing the media, I think, you know, people who have ever covered a legislature or Congress or whatnot, you know, can say that democracy is just a very, very messy model of government. And in some ways, that's reflected in the democratization of media. So the upside to the democratization is that the issues sometimes that wouldn't be covered necessarily in some media are now covered. The downside is that you've got so many voices, sometimes it's difficult to be able to hone in on what one needs, what's being said that is trustworthy in a sense. That's why transparency is so important online. Like a few years back, I remember that there were, at the national level, there were bloggers who had to come out and say that they were being paid by certain, you know, companies to really kind of help push product. And that's some of the questions that are being worked out right now in real time in the media. I'm not trying to defend the legacy media necessarily. I'm just saying that it's what now we're struggling with is the legacy media is trying to figure out how to keep that revenue stream intact and still do their jobs with fewer reporters and fewer editors, which is just really difficult.
Or none, in the sense of with the alibi eliminating the news department altogether.
Exactly. And so how does one do that at the same time you've got this proliferation of new sources and trying to figure out who to trust and whatnot? And honestly, this is not, in some ways, it's not totally new to American history. We didn't have the internet, obviously, back in the early 19th century, but you did have just so many media outlets. When you read about the number of newspapers that were in Philadelphia or New York or whatnot, there were, you know, tens, dozens sometimes of newspapers. And so it was sometimes difficult to figure out, you know, where that newspaper was coming from politically. Although back then, you know, obviously there were newspapers that were aligned with the Jeffersonians versus the Hamiltonians and the Federalists. But so in some sense, we've struggled with this as an American society before, and we've come out of it. But I think this is such a huge issue, and so it is key to how we do democracy, too. Sorry to get so hokey about it, but it's a really big issue, a huge issue.
Well, so I know you have to step away for a moment, Tripp, so I'm going to take this question now to Marisa, and I wanted to kind of expand a little bit. And maybe what Tripp was saying was that this is a new medium, but with a kind of a perhaps there's even a kind of an ebb and a flow of the number of media organizations and the way that media organizations are either aligned with certain perspectives or independent. Does the online media format provide an opportunity for increased diversity in newsrooms? Because that is something that has been shown over the years, that in large newsrooms of large news organizations, the diversity of reporters and editors tends to be not so much, in that newsrooms are generally run by white upper-middle-class men.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the online format do to that tradition, so to speak?
I think we're seeing a lot of different voices appearing in media, in print media and more traditional outlets, as well as online. The face of the journalist is changing, I think, over time. We're not talking anymore about white males, although unfortunately most major media companies are still very much owned and controlled by the same people that they've always been owned and controlled by. I think the internet affords the opportunity for people to access audience without necessarily having to have a huge startup fund or egg. So it kind of makes it so that anyone can begin to participate in that kind of broader conversation that's happening. I think that the important piece that's missing, and maybe this is a little bit about what Tripp was touching on, is that there are some journalistic ethics and values that need to be imparted. And these are kind of old school print newspaper journalistic values about how to obtain a story, about what your relationship is with your sources. You shouldn't be being paid by anybody to write your content. And having valuing independence, fair-mindedness, and ethics, and we can spread that. That's not a secret. We can teach that to other people who want to get in the game and be part of journalism. And I think that's kind of the next step, is really helping other people learn those values and become responsible news media creators themselves.
Let's take another call. John in Albuquerque. Good morning, John. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the topic. A couple quick things. First thing I wanted to ask is, you know, do these newer news outlets, are they interested in covering more Native American topics? We have a very large Native American population here in New Mexico, and I work with Native America Calling, and we see that, you know, there's very, very little outlets and very little access to Native issues outside of those small windows that actually cover it. So that's the first part. Second thing I wanted to ask is also, you know, do these new internet online organizations, do they have mobile phone apps? Because I feel like that's truly the future. I am someone who now gets 70% of my news directly from my phone. So that's it.
Matt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the Native American thing, it's for me, like I said, I'm a one-man shop, so there's a lot of things that I would love to cover, and that's one of them. But unfortunately, I got to kind of pick and choose what I can, you know, what I can cover, because I'm able to write maybe 5 blog posts a day. That's, if I'd write any more than that, then I'm spreading myself too thin. And unfortunately, right now, I'm focusing on, you know, on the legislature and electoral politics. And as for the mobile issue, that's, if we're talking about how to monetize something, monetizing mobile is kind of, it's the next holy grail, I guess, because nobody's figured that out. I mean, Google hasn't even figured it out yet, so we know that people are still trying to figure out how to make money off that. I don't have an app, but I did make sure that my website works very well on the mobile web, because I know that a lot, you look at the breakdown, people on iPhones, they use their apps, but people on Androids, they just use mobile web. So it's an interesting kind of breakdown to see how people consume news on their phones. So I'm kind of focusing right now on the mobile web, making sure that my website works there, and it looks good on there. You can click on everything and read it, but right now there's no mobile app for NMTelegram.
NMTelegram.com. Links are shared at KUNM.org for all three of the news organizations that we're hearing from today. Matt, I wanted to also follow up with a question about the services that you, or the material that you provide at nmtelegram.com. You do a posting called The Morning Word. Explain what that is and what you feel is the value of that type of product.
Yeah, The Morning Word started out as just the thing I was going to say, okay, here's the stories I was reading, you know, throughout the day, and I'll just, you know, put them up as kind of a link, you know, links to them and a little explanation. Then it kind of turned into reading every single small town newspaper in the state every, you know, every evening. And the next morning I put out links to everything from, you know, obviously, you know, the APD, you know, the latest APD shooting or whatever is happening there, all the way down to what's happening in the Cuesta school board, which is actually really interesting. And every day I put in about, you know, 30 to 40 links about just what's happening throughout the state. And that, I mean, you can sign up and get it in your, you know, in your email if you want every morning at 8 a.m. They'll just be sitting there waiting for you. And that's one of the things I've been doing. That's one of the ways I've been monetizing also, is asking people, hey, you can pay to get this early to it. You know, it's a really nominal fee, but it's, you know, it is a lot of work. It takes me about 2 hours every evening to do this.
Marisa, what about this idea of kind of curating news content, or at least links from other news providers, into one place online? I saw a tweet yesterday from somebody who was saying, look, there, you should have no fear to tweet your competitor's work, because then hopefully people will just come to you for information about where to go to find the news of the day or topics that you're interested in reading up about, instead of following all those other Twitter accounts for other organizations. That the more cross-pollinated your online presence is, the more effective you're serving your followers. Is that Is that how you think about your work that you're doing at New Mexico Compass?
We haven't done a lot of that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think we did something called Saturday Springboard, which was touching on the most interesting kind of cultural and news events that were going on that weekend. Margaret, my colleague, did that, and I think she included a lot of her own kind of reporting on those issues as well. I don't mind at all linking to other people's work, and in fact, I find it helpful to link to, I guess I don't know that I think I have any competitors yet either, but I don't find it at all negative to link to other news media outlets' work, because you can kind of see where I'm getting my sources, and I think it should be easy for people to see where we're getting our statistics and our facts from if they're not coming from direct first-person sources. What we've done, though, is instead is we've provided coverage of like the Bernalillo County Commission meeting, PRC meetings, council meetings. We're going to cover the Water Authority Board meetings. So we're generating content that hopefully other people will be linking to keep track of what's going on in local governmental bodies.
Why did you choose covering local governmental bodies like that as a focus?
I loved Council Watch and the Weekly Alibi. I really thought it was making those kind of opaque movements of the city council totally palatable for any reader. You can just take like 5 or 10 minutes and sit down and see what decisions they're making, and they're making decisions that really impact your life. So, for instance, the council right now is considering whether or not to do away with the 4th Street Mall, which is that little kind of area downtown. We're considering whether to name a gym after Johnny Tapia. That was the last council meeting. And to install a statue of Johnny Tapia doing a backflip somewhere on city property, which I'm kind of excited about. So it's cool to go to those meetings and see what people are talking about, see what's coming down the pike for the city and the county, and to be able to tell people what's happening in an easy, kind of breezy reading manner. So
we're talking about the changing news media landscape here in New Mexico with Marissa DeMarco of New Mexico Compass, Matt Reichbach with New Mexico Telegram, and Trip Jennings with New Mexico In Depth. We are interested in hearing from you about the kind of coverage that you would like to see from news outlets like this, and comments about this type of online format and also the collaboration that some of these organizations are doing with local newspapers and radio stations, etc. The number to call locally here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can email callinshow@kunm.org or post your comments online at kunm.org. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
UNM Press and the UNM Alumni Association come together to offer great holiday gift ideas for everyone who loves books and UNM. Browse the 2012 holiday catalog at unmpress.com. Between now and January 15th, a portion of the proceeds from each purchase from unmpress.com will benefit the UNM Alumni Association. Books can also be ordered at 1-800-249-7737. A message from the tax-exempt University of New Mexico Press.
How do the recent deficit reduction and revenue-raising strategies being discussed by Congress and the President impact women?
We're not making the kinds of investments in families and communities that we need to be able to be economically competitive in the decades to come.
Hear from Heather Boucher of the Center for American Progress as we discuss the impact of the fiscal cliff deal on the health and well-being of women and families. Join us this Friday morning for Women's Health Today at 8 a.m. right here on KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. It's all nearing it's nearing 45 minutes past 8 o'clock. That's what I meant to say. I'm jumbling myself. We are talking about the changing news media landscape here in New Mexico, and we're taking your calls about what kinds of news content you would like to see from these new online organizations, and your comments about the kind of changing format of news coverage and the changing shape of news newsrooms themselves. 277-5866 is the number to call locally here in Albuquerque. 877-899-5866 is the toll-free number. You can also email callinshow@kunm.org or post your comments online. And we did get a comment from Megan via email, and she writes that having worked in business journalism, now working in public television on issues of poverty and public policy, she sees more connections between these worlds than she often sees in news coverage of these issues themselves. She says having a lousy education system impacts the ability to have a healthy economy by attracting employers and helping residents launch and grow businesses. And she talks about healthcare and childcare and creating economic opportunities. And she says that she wishes there were fewer silos in news organizations around the relationships between these types of issues. Trip Jennings with New Mexico In Depth, your thoughts on that?
Sure. Can I go back to, I'll answer that, but a previous caller's question. One of our hopes with New Mexico In Depth is to try to cover more Native American news. I just wanted to get that in. We're trying to focus in on that. So I just wanted to say that. That is one of our goals at New Mexico In Depth, is to cover some of the underserved populations here in New Mexico as far as news goes. I agree with Megan. I think that a lot of times, it's about how newsrooms function sometimes. Not every newsroom is this way, but a lot of them are. They're institutions themselves, and they have beats. That's what they call them in newsrooms. And as a business reporter, or let's say a city hall reporter, one focuses in on what's going on at City Hall and the ordinance and whatnot. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes, it's easy just to focus in on that and not look beyond, how business is being affected or what it looks like for the state, let's say, to decide to, let's say, the governor's decision yesterday to expand Medicaid. We actually had a series of stories earlier this week that actually went out and talked to people who might be affected by that. I didn't see much of that in the news here in New Mexico beforehand. It may have happened. I just didn't see it. Megan's correct about, especially about the education system. I've covered economic development in some way, form, in five different states. And a lot of times what folks will say about sending high-wage jobs or relocating a facility with high-wage jobs is, one of the big things they look at, the business looks at when they're trying to relocate, is the educational system. Because, frankly, some of these folks don't want to take their children, the executives, to a place where they think they might not get as good an education as where they are, currently. So that's a big thing. Megan's, I think, right, and Megan and I have talked about that in the past. And connecting the dots, that's part of, I think, doing more in-depth journalism.
Well, and that's what at least from what I understand, a lot of the research that is done about what viewers and readers and listeners want from their news media outlets are the context, are the connection between the things that are happening and what those things mean to the people who are affected by them. So it sounds like you all are focused on particularly this aspect, but in a way kind of dividing, or at least sometimes dividing your projects by beat, in a sense, so that your actual organization has a bit of a beat, like Matthew and electoral politics and the legislative coverage, or Marisa and the coverage of local governmental bodies and their decision-making process. I want to go now to a few calls. Camille of Albuquerque, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Camion. I wanted to ask, as a small business owner, I love the idea that you are not doing for-profit and having to spend your time doing advertising. That makes a lot of sense to me, but I'm also wondering if there are ways that you feel your business model can promote small local businesses. Thanks.
Trip, your thoughts on that?
We are... At New Mexico In Depth, we're going to be publishing, it's not going to be a daily situation when we publish stories. It may not even be weekly, because we're trying to do larger projects. So it's, we're not going to get in the sense of we're not going to be doing business stories, stories on local businesses or whatnot. That's not part of our goal or calling, I should say. So in that sense, we probably wouldn't be the right place to go to for, you know, promoting local businesses or whatnot.
Marisa, what about with New Mexico Compass?
I think, you know, business stories are always an interesting challenge. And I think the thing about a business story is that you're telling a story about a person, and you have to use your judgment to find the right story about the right people to tell that story. I think there is legitimate small business journalism to be done in Albuquerque that's not motivated by somebody purchasing an ad or giving you some kind of monetary count to write it. But I think, there's really good small business journalism, and I would definitely not say that I'm adverse to doing it. There was also a question about Native American issues. I've long covered Native American issues, and we're also hoping to help people learn how to cover their own communities. And so I think that would definitely applies to people who populate, you know, different parts of the state, including Native American people.
Let's take another call. Judy in Albuquerque. Good morning, Judy. You're on the air.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you for the way you're covering issues that are vital for democracy. And I know it's a transitional time and full of difficulties, and I just want to express my appreciation. And I was so happy to hear Marissa's dedication to, you know, the local government issues. And I would like to bring up the one of the contamination of the aquifer. And if you go to the Water Utility Board meetings, you'll hear from the public about that. And thank you very much again. That's all I want to say.
Let's take another call. Let's go to Ellen in Santa Fe. Good morning, Ellen. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for this show. It's really excellent. I wanted to kind of add on to what the issues Megan was raising are, and I've been here since 75. I'm an Anglo. I've had a long-standing concern with the effects of these colonized populations that we have in our state and the unspoken tensions between race, and also the effect of modernization on our rural areas. And I don't see any coverage of those issues ever. I read the New Mexican every day because I can get the local news, and that's great. But in terms of a broad spectrum or broad point of view of what's happened over time, and I can tell you that a lot of my colleagues and friends are clueless because they don't think about this. They don't think about systemic issues that result in the kind of problems that are being described, like our educational system, our lack of health care. So I think there are great stories in those histories and present time problems. So I'd like to hear from anybody, you know, on the show who might have a comment about that.
Matthew, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting how many stories are out there that just aren't getting covered, like on any issue. That sounds like that's what a lot of people are calling in about today is, you know, I'd like to see more about this issue. And I think that's what's great about the internet is that you can have sort of these micro-targeted websites towards a small business in Albuquerque, maybe towards, you know, some of the more, you know, Native American issues, that sort of thing. And I mean, like with me, I don't know how much that the race, you know, writing about race and stuff would fit in with me writing about who's running for Senate or that sort of thing. But it's an interesting look to see there is a place for these kind of websites out there. And I think that we would all encourage people, especially Marisa with her training that she wants to do, is you can do reporting on your own too. I'm not saying passing it off to people, but that's how I got my start, is I just started writing. And I would encourage everybody to do the same thing.
Marisa, covering issues of race.
Yeah, it's complicated. I at the Alibi, I think I did a lot of work about different issues surrounding race that came up in the state. I think it's a super interesting and important thing to talk about, and to talk to other people about. And the question for me always becomes, you know, how do you cover it in a way that is not condescending or imposing your own view. into the picture. I think what's interesting, though, too, is that in some ways it really creates people don't want to touch it because it's maybe a little too complicated, which I don't necessarily think is the right answer either. I'm happy to help people learn how to cover their own communities, and I'm willing to write stories about race as it comes up. And it always comes up in really tangible ways, and those are the good stories to write. I can't sit here and tell you generally about race in New Mexico, but I can tell you about problems that people are having that are coming up in, say, the medical conversation, the healthcare conversation in New Mexico. So there's really specific avenues to enter this conversation that I think are great things to cover.
Let's take one last call. James in Corrales. Good morning, James. You're on the air.
Good morning. The comment that I have is that it seems to me that what I hear in reporting is sort of a parroting of what's being said by others rather than an in-depth analysis or even a commentary on what the truth actually is. And I think in the last election, this was one of those things where there was just outrageous statements on either side. It doesn't matter what your political slant is. But I would like to see the reporters get rid of the slant and instead of just reporting what somebody says, to point out what the truth of the statements are or what the untruths are so that there's a chance of really understanding the true issues instead of what somebody spins it to say. I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Tripp, your thoughts on this idea of news reporters reporting what, say, politicians say, but without analyzing whether what politicians say is actually accurate. What about New Mexico in depth? You have, of course, just published your first series of articles on Governor Susana Martinez. Talk about this idea of fact versus what sources are saying.
I want to say first off that I think, you know, just generally, I think that's a legitimate complaint of much of the media. And the bigger reason that media do this in some ways because you have fewer resources and there's this kind of checking and watchdog journalism that you're talking about takes a lot of time and it's labor intensive because sometimes it means that you have to actually look at very large reports and do some trend analysis, look at data. But I think I think that James has put his finger on something that needs to be done more and more by media. So we have just published, we're on our, I think, 10th story in 5 days, looking at various issues, Medicaid expansion, economic development, the immigrant's driver's license issue, the healthcare exchange. We have the issue of social promotion coming on Sunday. We did a profile of Martinez. And we tried to get beyond some of this he said, she said, or he said, or she said, journalism that I think James is talking about. That's what I want to say, that it takes a lot of time and a lot of labor to get past some of this rhetoric. But I would agree. I mean, I think that that's something that media should do. But I hope the public understands that it does take a lot of time and effort. And it's not something often that they can do in one day.
We do talk about that here at KUNM during our fundraising pledge drives about how expensive it is to produce public radio news. So do check out our website, KUNM.org. We have links to the three news websites. We've been speaking with Marisa DeMarco. She is with New Mexico Compass. That's nmcompass.com. We also heard from Matthew Reichbach with New Mexico Telegram. That's nmtelegram.com. And Tripp Jennings from New Mexico In Depth. That's nmindepth.com. kunndepth.com. But of course, you can find all the links online at kunm.org. We do welcome your comments and feedback. You can email callinshow@kunm.org. You can also find a podcast of this show. We'll post it to the website just as soon as we get off the air. Thanks so much for joining us. Engineering this morning by Roman Garcia. Your calls were screened by Michael Hess. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and this is KUNM.